bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege to be here today. It is a beautiful day, August 13th, 2021. And I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for giving us this platform to deliver the message of the gospel. And also for Frank Eliason for producing our show. I want to thank Frank for all the great work that he does. Our show today, my friends, is dedicated to the Blessed Mother Mary, our Blessed Mother, who this weekend we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary. And so this is a special feast day, and we know that the Assumption of our Blessed Mother Mary is the fourth glorious mystery. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about our Blessed Mother and then go into our readings. But I just want to tell you again, where would we be today, my friends, if our Blessed Mother Mary was not with us? And you know, back in the year 1200, the rosary prayer was given to St. Dominic. And, you know, he was told to teach the world, basically, the rosary, which is all about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, with the rosary prayer, we have the joyful mysteries, which are focused on the life of Christ, the sorrowful mysteries, which is focused on the death of Christ, and then the glorious mysteries, which is focused on the resurrection of Christ and beyond. And also Pope John Paul II, who is now a saint, has given us the luminous mysteries. You know, other events, five additional events in the life of our Lord, which is so powerful, my friends. And so if we look at the glorious mysteries, which we go through the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, which took place after our Lord rose from the dead, preached for 40 days, and then ascended on a cloud before thousands of people. And then 9 days later, the descent of the Holy Spirit, which is the third glorious mystery. And then the fourth glorious mystery is the Assumption of Mary. As the Lord and our Father take her into heaven, body and soul, it's a very powerful moment. And for all the great things that Our Lady did in support of our Lord, she was taken into heaven. And this is the feast day we celebrate this weekend, the feast of the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary. And I'll just tell you that the role that Mary played in each mystery is very powerful. And we're going to be talking about this today because our Blessed Mother truly, you know, is honored. And we honor her as the Mother of Jesus for all that she did in his life, death, and resurrection. And we look to Mary to get closer to Jesus, to get closer to our Lord. We've talked about it before, but it's so important, especially, you know, with the feast day this weekend, that we talk heavily about this, because we want people to really get comfortable with our Blessed Mother. And the Lord gave us his mother at the top of the cross when he says, you know, son, behold your mother, and woman, behold your son. And so we look to Mary as a mother, our eternal mother. We look to Mary as a vehicle by which we get closer to Jesus. Very, very important. I want to take a moment, my friends, to just let you know again, you're listening to 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And our show today, again, is focused on, you know, the Blessed Mother and the feast day of the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary. But also, this is Finding God in Prison. And I just want to remind you that today we may be getting a call while we're on the air from Edward Addison, who we spoke with briefly yesterday, an inmate who graduated from the WINGS program back in 2015, who did very well with us, but then went upstate to SCI Forest and serving 10 to 20 years. And I just tell you that Edward is a man of his word. He checks in from time to time, and he's at the State Correctional Institution Forest in Pennsylvania. He is studying to be an electrician while inside and also studying to be a mason and working with a variety of different trades, preparing to come home and to go to work. At the facility he's at right now, which is about 6 hours away from Philadelphia, he's been there for quite some time. But I just tell you, back in the WINGS program, he wrote a beautiful letter to a young man who was 17, who had an attitude issue and was really undisciplined and getting into different types of trouble as he graduated from Pensbury High School and got into smoking marijuana and, you know, ended up with some different violations that he had to clear up in the next year. And Edward wrote him a letter trying to help him to avoid these kinds of blemishes and to restore his credibility. And Edward, who is basically in his early 30s, you know, did that out of the goodness of his heart because he saw a young man who was really in need of some guidance. And so he is a wingman, a graduate of the WINGS program, and he will be home in about 2.5 to 3 years. And we may get a call for him from him today while we're on the air. So I just wanted to prepare you for that. But again, we're here at Holy Spirit Radio. It's a beautiful day. And before we get into our readings from the this weekend's Mass, yesterday I watched a movie called My Girl, which was a movie on Netflix with Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lee Curtis. It's about a family who is working in the field of preparing people who pass on and for their funerals. And basically, you know, it's interesting because the husband had lost his wife early on after she gave birth to a daughter. And so the daughter, her name is Veda, lived, you know, her early years without her mom. And that really created some voids for her. And in going forward, she had a great friend, Jimmy J, who was stung by some bees, actually quite a few bees. And Jimmy J was her best friend. And I just tell you that Jimmy J, unfortunately, lost his life due to those bee stings, and he was allergic to them. And so she lost her mom at an early age and also a great friend while she was only 11 years old. And the message here, my friends, in this movie called My Girl, once again with Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lee Curtis, is that, you know, life is so precious and we need to enjoy the blessings that God has given us in our marriages, because we never know when God will call one of our spouses home. We never know when he will call one of our children home. And this is, you know, a time truly to look at life in a more valuable way and not take so many things for granted, like family and friends, our homes. And the blessings that God gives us are all temporary, my friends, because one day we too will be called home. So the message for our show today in this category is to enjoy the blessings of life, and that life is here for the living. And in this movie, we saw the family, the father actually, very focused on taking care of people as they pass, and he was so consumed with it that he kind of, you know, left his daughter here and there by herself and not giving her the attention that she needed, even though she had lost her mom at an early age when she was just basically in her first year of life. So I'll just tell you that life is here for the living, and we want to enjoy the blessings that God has given us in family, good friends, our homes, and any of the other blessings that we know we can sometimes take for granted. Very, very important message. Once again, the movie's on Netflix called My Girl, and I highly recommend it. Some great messages there for living a good life, a happy life, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy it. Okay, my friends, I want to go into our first reading this weekend, which is from the book of Revelations, chapter 11, verses 19, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and 10, A and B. And here it is. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown with 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth, to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his anointed one, the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. And in the book of Revelations, my friends, we see a tremendous vision here that is shared with us. And the first thing I want to point out is the Ark of the Covenant, which from the reading talks about God's temple in the heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple. And the Ark of the Covenant is described in the Bible as a holy container where the Ten Commandments and other holy Israelite objects are held. Very special. And one of the most instrumental symbols and of faith and God's presence is the Ark of the Covenant. And within the contents are the tablets or the tables of the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and the rod of Aaron. And when we talk about the rod of Aaron, we refer to basically a special staff, a walking stick carried by Moses' brother Aaron in the Torah. And the Bible tells how, along with Moses' rod, Aaron's rod was given miraculous power during the plagues of Egypt that preceded the Exodus. And so this is a powerful reading in the book of Revelations. And it goes on to tell us that a great sign appeared in the sky. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Our Blessed Mother Mary. And so we see that there is a challenge here between Jesus and Mary versus the red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems, which are jeweled crowns. and symbols of sovereignty. But I tell you, in the world today, my friends, we see good versus evil on a daily basis. We see topics of discussion which have revealed to us that there are entities out there who are basically supporting an evil pathway, a pathway that does not include God, a pathway that takes us only to the devil, to Satan himself. And this is important because in the book of Revelations, we can see that there is a genuine vision of our Blessed Mother Mary clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And we see another sign. Again, a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. So we know that in the world today, and in the history of the world, there's always been this challenge by evil to take us over. And when we're vulnerable, it's easier for the devil to do that. And so we must be strong, like our Blessed Mother Mary. We must be strong and do exactly what we need to do for the Lord's work to be completed, to give him the very best that we can. And this is important. In the reading from the book of Revelations, it goes on to say that she gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. And her child is caught up to God and his throne. And this child is Jesus. And it's powerful, because in the Gospel of Luke, we know that our Blessed Mother Mary was part of the Father's eternal plan. She was handpicked, selected, as the vehicle by which Jesus would come into the world. And Jesus and God our Father are the rulers of all nations. The power of God is evident. And we are called, my friends, to recognize that God's power is supreme. It's superior over any other countries. And God sets the tone. He sets the way by which he calls us to live. He makes it clear in the tablets of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, what God says to do and not to do. And so we must have faith, strong faith in times of trouble. Today we live in a troubled world which really needs to be changed. It needs more of God's word, more of God's peace, more of God's love. And there are millions of people out there who won't accept that, who are like the Antichrist. They are against God, against Jesus. They are against his ways, his morals, values, ethics, and the biblical principles that he set forth for us to live out in the Ten Commandments, given to Moses on Mount Sinai, given to Moses to provide to us, the people, so that we can live a good life, a life of increase, where we live and prosper. And this is important, my friends, from the book of Revelations. Let's move to our second reading now, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 27. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. Just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he subjected everything under his feet. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And through the words, my friends, of St. Paul, we see that our message today is that Christ, you know, has great power over life and death. We see that first Christ will come, and then those who belong to Christ will come. So are you with Christ or against him? Are we walking with Christ on a daily basis, or are we against him? Objectively speaking, in your circle of friends, are they walking with Christ, or are they opposed to his message, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it uncomfortable when you're with those people, or are they accepting of the message of Jesus? I want you to think about it, my friends, because we want to be in good company, and we're either with him or against him. And God's telling us straight that for just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. First, Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. So we're either with Christ or against him. We're trying to help the kingdom of God to be built up, or we're working against the Lord. We've got to be clear. There is no ambiguity here. We want to be clear that we are giving the Lord 100%, and we're growing in faith. We're learning, and he is mentoring us, teaching us, showing us, providing for us through the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God. And so through the Word, we get many, many messages, many, many teachings, and God laid it out that way so we have access to eternal life. He calls us to do the right thing, my friends. He calls us to walk with him, especially, my friends, when you and I are walking through life, which can be tough, can be difficult. We know that just around the corner, things can happen that can change your day. And one of my favorite motivational speakers, Les Brown, said, "The messenger of bad news is either on his way to your home, at your home, or is just leaving your home." But in life, my friends, sometimes we will have bad news. And the Lord is the deliverer of the good news. But in this world today, in this life, all of us are vulnerable to some bad news once in a while. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a divorce between a husband and a wife. It could be the loss of a child, the loss of a job, a fatal disease. There's so many things in this world that plague us. And most of the time, we are at peace. But in life, sometimes things will come to us that steal our peace temporarily. It's up to us to get our peace back once again. And this is important. And the Lord said, you know, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So, you know, Jesus is the life of the world. And death is an enemy for the Lord. Okay? Because God is a producer of life. He calls us to be fruitful and multiply, to have children. It's very important that we see Jesus for who he is. He is the breath of life. Death is an enemy for the Lord. And so he must overcome that as well. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And we will live in eternity with our Lord and our Father in heaven because we have access to the Lord. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We have access to the Father because we have faith in Jesus. No faith in Jesus, no belief in Jesus, no time for Jesus. Where are you going when your time comes, my friend? Where will you go? Time is of the essence that we make a decision for Christ, for our Heavenly Father, that we make a decision to walk strongly with him, firmly with him, to be a witness for him, to acknowledge him in all things, to please him through our daily walk, to not disappoint him, but to please him, to be obedient to the laws that he gave to Moses thousands of years ago, which are powerful, that were put forth so that we can live a good life. We can build strong families, have good work, have great health, that we can help other people. Second greatest commandment, my friends, to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the first greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Are we doing that? Or are we coming up short? Are we turning on the television first and putting God second? Are we missing church because of sports on Sunday mornings? Because of some other work? Think about it, my friends. Where is God in your list of priorities? In the Wings program, it's God first and then you. And that's in line with what God calls us to do. He says, seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. That's spiritual logic. God calls us to do it. But are we making God last on the list? An obligation? How much quality time are we giving him? Are we listening to what he says or what our friends say? Are we listening to what God says, or are we listening to what broadcasters are saying on anti-godly stations? Think about it, my friends. Who are you listening to? What is being filled in your mind? Is it positive or negative? Is it for God or against God? Is it helping you to grow in faith or diminishing your faith? Making you question your faith? Stay focused, my friends. God calls us to focus. And Moses said it best in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, be careful to do exactly as the Lord your God calls you to do. Don't deviate to the left or to the right, but do exactly as he calls you to do. So I tell you, my friends, to be careful. God loves us. Be careful. because things can happen because we're careless. God calls us to pay attention to detail. Very, very important. My friends, we're about halfway through the show. I want to take a moment to let you know you're listening to Joe Montone, your host here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. This is 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here and celebrating the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary this weekend, which is a powerful day. Again, acknowledged in the fourth glorious mystery of the Holy Rosary. And this is important. So as we move, my friends, now forward and into our gospel reading, we want to move into the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke is just a beautiful reading today from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. And here it is. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For at that moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears. The infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary, our Blessed Mother Mary, said this, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we see the second joyful mystery, the visitation, come to life through the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And this prayer, my friends, is the Magnificat. It's a psalm of praise. And it's important to see the character of Mary as we go through this event that we call the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth, who is also going to bear a child. And in Mary's great statement, she says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And she's praising our Lord. She's acknowledging our Lord as her Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. Look at the humility of Mary in her character. Look at the humility as she refers to herself as a servant of God, his lowly servant, willing to do whatever the Father wants her to do, confirmed in the Gospel of Luke. Look at the character of Mary, the humility, the gentleness, the gratefulness, the attitude of gratitude. And it says, from this day, all generations will call me blessed. Now, Blessed Mother Mary, coming from the Gospel of Luke, and we acknowledge that all generations will call Mary blessed. Hence, we have our Blessed Mother. And for those who don't acknowledge Mary, I pray for you that you will one day know the love of our Blessed Mother Mary, the woman that God gave us, the woman who was basically there before Jesus was born here on earth, the woman who said yes to our Father's plan, yes to the angel Gabriel, who came to her and who said to her, your Father in heaven has found favor with you. You are to bear a child and his name will be Jesus. And this is powerful because Mary was there from the very beginning. And there are those out there who don't want to acknowledge Mary's role as the mother of Jesus, the woman who gave birth to Jesus, who cared for him, as the first reading talked about, that she wailed in pain as she was giving birth. This is powerful because Mary was human. We don't worship Mary, we honor Mary as the mother of Jesus. And she teaches us truly about the gift of motherhood. One of the greatest gifts in the world, my friends, truly, other than the gift of life itself, because the gift of motherhood is the producer of life. And so we need to live life accordingly and acknowledge motherhood. And when we talk about motherhood, who better to put at the forefront after Jesus and God our Father than our Blessed Mother Mary? Because she gave birth to Jesus. And without that gift of motherhood, which was part of the Father's plan for bringing Jesus into the world, he wouldn't have been here in that way. The Father could have done it any way he wanted to, but he chose to come through a woman. He chose to support that woman with a man, Saint Joseph, the foster father to Jesus. All confirmed in the Gospel of Luke, my friends. Very powerful that the traditional marriage and family life message is acknowledged. It is emulated. We conduct our lives accordingly and proceed as husbands and wives in the context of a marriage. And we are fruitful and multiply, and we grow strong families in faith, not independent of God, not in front of God, but with God's help through the Holy Spirit. We have the special gift of a child coming through birth. And the Word of God confirms it, that anybody who has a child in the name of Jesus receives the love of Jesus and his Father through the Holy Spirit. And that's why the bond between a mother and a child is a lifetime. It's unbreakable. And that's why it's so difficult when we lose parents, losing a mother, losing a father, because those bonds are unbreakable. They're God-given. And the love of God comes through that birth canal with that child. It's a powerful concept. And I share this with you, my friends, because we need today to acknowledge life and the producer of life. Because there are many things out there that don't support life and the producer of life. Things like abortion, which is legal. Things like contraception. Things like divorce and same-sex marriage. These four things don't produce life. They hurt the production of life. We need to acknowledge that and fight for life and for traditional marriage and family life. It's important. And it's the way that God designed us to live. You and I may want to do what we want to do, but God has another plan. He has another directive. He has a statement for us to live by. The Ten Commandments are very clear. It's part of the Ark of the Covenant. It's precious. It's powerful. We see in the Old Testament these commandments laid out. And in the Torah for the Jewish people, we see once again the same. God calls us to acknowledge this, to be obedient to these commandments. And we're not perfect. But shouldn't we make an effort? A great effort? A sincere effort? At living up to those standards that God calls us to? The God who gives us the breath of life? Who gives us the ability to walk and talk and touch and feel and share and enjoy life as He wants us to? Shouldn't we make a sincere effort? And if you're out there, my friends, look at this objectively. And I ask you the question, and I pose it right back to myself. Are you and I living up to these standards? Are we compromising the standards? Because we believe we're good enough. God calls us to live them out. The Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew, when asked by the apostles, "Who, Lord, is your brother or your sister or your mother?" And He says, "The one who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother or sister or mother." The will of God. Well, the will of God is what He put forth for us in the Word of God, the Bible. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, the will of God is very clear. It's not to be changed. It's not to be added to or just, you know, taken away from. God calls us to be obedient to His word. And like our Blessed Mother Mary, who was obedient to our Lord in seeing Him through His life, death, and resurrection. Like our Blessed Mother Mary, we too are called to be obedient. We too are human beings made in the likeness of God. And we are called to live a good life. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's not something that we can choose not to do. It's an order from the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father. Everything that the Lord taught us came from the Father. This is not something we can choose not to do. We've got to be clear. We've got to put what Jesus tells us to do, what the Father calls us to do, at the top of the list. Not as an obligation, but because we want to please God. We want to show Him how much we really love Him, truly. The Lord doesn't want lip service. Actions speak louder than words. Is He important or not? Is He last on the list? Next to last? Are we doing other things every day before we acknowledge Him in the day? Saying good morning to our Lord and Savior, our Creator? Do we speak to Him at bedtime? Or do we just come to Him, my friends, when the really tough times have arrived? When the messenger of bad news is at our home and we need His help? God wants to be there in good times and in bad times. He wants us to be there with Him to celebrate the good times. And He gives us strength and courage to endure the challenging times, the rough times. I had a friend who was in Vietnam in the midst of battle, and his platoon was getting shot up, and he was in a very, very tight spot, and he was very, very scared. And he prayed to God. He said, God, if You get me out of this, if You get me out of this, I promise I will live a good life. And my friend John came home. I'll never forget that statement. And John lived a good life. Got married, had children, and went to work every day, and has a strong faith. But he shared that with me as a testimony to the Lord. How often are we giving testimony to the Lord? We talked about that in the last program as well. And it has to be reinforced, because if we turn on the television or the radio, very often you won't hear testimony for Jesus. You won't hear it because there are agnostics out there and atheists out there and people out there who want to be gods. They want to control people. They want to control you and I. They want to control the money, the power, prestige. My friends, there is only one God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father in heaven, who gives us the Lord 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit who lives within us. It's a powerful revelation, a powerful gift, the Holy Trinity. And as we talk about our Blessed Mother, once again, she acknowledges in the Magnificat, in this great statement, this psalm of praise, she says that the Almighty has done great things for me. She's acknowledging what God Almighty has done for her. And Jesus is not born yet. Jesus is within her as she's visiting her cousin Elizabeth. And she said, and holy is His name. And she submits, my friend, as a human being, she submits to the Lord, to our Father, to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit to speak through her. She shows her humility, her gentleness, her gratitude, and praises God and says, holy is His name. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the life of the world, the Word of God. The Lord has many names. And in the reading from the Gospel of Luke today, it talks about mercy for those who fear Him. Again, in the Magnificat, Mary says, He, meaning Jesus, has mercy on those who fear him. And in the book of Psalms, it says that the first step to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if you have a fear, a great reverence to the Lord, he's going to have mercy on you, my friends. Mercy. He's going to forgive you. He's going to help you. Mercy. Have you ever been in great pain, struggling, and God showed you his mercy? Have you ever seen that live in a jail cell, in a courtroom, in a hospital bed, in a prisoner of war camp? Have you ever seen that kind of mercy? God will bring you through by his mercy. And through his blood, my friends, we are saved. She talks about, he has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. Are we dealing with too much pride? Are we too proud to get on our knees and pray to God, to thank God, to ask God for forgiveness? Are we too proud? Are we conceited? Are you and I, my friends, conceited? Let's look at ourselves in the mirror. A good friend of mine, Fred Schindler, told me, my friends, he said to me this, in life, a man has to look at himself in the mirror many times as he shaves. And when he does, he sees himself eye to eye. And when he does, he knows where he's been. He knows who he is better than anyone except God. And if he doesn't like who he sees, he must make changes. If he's not willing to make changes, and he continues as the person he does not like in the mirror, eventually he'll die. So we all have to make changes. Like the Lord says in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man is in order by the Lord. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the Lord himself sharpens you and I, my friends. The word of God helps him to do it. It is the weapon of choice. The weapon, the word of God, the sword. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the word, if we stay in it, if we read it, we understand it, we acknowledge it, we share it, and eventually we live it out, one scripture at a time. Steps of a good man is in order. We will fulfill that order, but we won't do it independently without God's help and without his word. And today we see the absence of God's word in schools, public schools, the absence of God's word at the dinner table in millions of homes, the absence of God's word in places that you and I visit throughout the week. It's up to you and I to bring that word back in, to touch the hearts and minds of people so we can sharpen other people through the word of God. He talks about casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. He will lift up you and I, my friends, and he will take people out of their high positions of authority, out of their thrones, after making themselves gods, because they have ignored the one true God, Jesus Christ. But he will lift up the lowly, as he has done to many people, lifted them up, given them a whole new life. They are a new creation, and they are out there working for God, doing the right thing day in and day out. They are instruments for Jesus Christ himself, and it's powerful. He goes on to talk about in the Magnificat how he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Feeding the hungry, one of the most powerful things we can do, my friends, bringing food, physical food, but also spiritual food for the body and soul, lifting people up, strengthening them for the journey. And God calls us to help the hungry, the needy, the imprisoned, the incarcerated, the addicted. He calls us to help those who mourn, to bring comfort to them, those who are sad, to bring joy. He calls us to many things, my friends, but you and I won't even be aware of it if we are not including the Word of God in our daily walk. God calls us to do it. And in the Magnificat, Mary goes on to say this. He has come to help his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. And Abraham was remembered as the friend to God because he was so obedient and always pleased God. He was known as a friend to God. It's powerful. If you and I are remembered by God to be a friend to God, what more could we ask? But the promise of mercy, he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers and to Abraham and his children forever. His promise of mercy is forever. But that's to those who believe in Jesus. We have to believe first and have faith. But he will give us the mercy that only he can provide, the forgiveness for our sins. And the Lord did it 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross and he took that tremendous pain and suffering for us. And 3 days later rose from the dead. An event so powerful that world time is based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But his mercy is there for us. It gives us access to eternal life. This is an important weekend, my friends, where we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Make it a great weekend. Include Mary in your prayers. Help your children to do the same. Acknowledge Christ and our Father in all things, my friends. God calls us to live a good life. Without him, we are doomed. And remember, God is here for all of us. There is but one God for all of us. We are his children, and his mercy has been promised for all of us forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you, and may he keep you safe and protect you, defend you, and may he give you the peace that only God can provide from heaven above. We ask this in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Have a great day. God bless. This is Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.